Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Being skeptical can be a good thing, but when does it become too much? In today's episode of ID the Future, we're going to tackle that question. This is John West, Associate Director of the Center for Science and Culture at Discovery Institute. Recently, I was in Hollywood, California for a post-play discussion after the final performance of the play, Disinherit the Wind. The play tells the story of a biologist who sues his university for the right to challenge neo-Darwinian evolution. After the play's performance, the audience got to discuss the play with its playwright and star, Matt Chait, biologist Jonathan Wells, and myself. One of the actors in the play stayed for the discussion, and he raised a really interesting question about when we should and shouldn't be skeptical of science.
There's a couple things I want to bring up. For the sake of doing theater and drama, a lot of incredible speeches and explanations and discussion were cut. A lot of that is in the book, so go get his book, and you can get a little bit more into the question of the whole evolution of ideas. And that the possibility isn't that there was some all-knowing thing that then created it, but everything grows. And as everything grows, everything evolves, ideas evolve. You can't have this idea until this idea comes. You can't have Einstein unless you have Newton. And likewise, as we develop in life, that's one way of looking at it. And that the play moved me very much when I read it. That's why I got involved in it, very deeply moved. And in hearing this group, and what I wanted to open up to the group, especially in this climate of alternate reality, alternate facts, truth, science, whatever, is as we talk about this, and clearly this lockout by neo-Darwinism, this whole idea of not listening, this whole idea of not allowing other thoughts to come in, the flip side of that, that I think the general public that doesn't want to go that deeply into anything, is just as simple as saying, and this is not what I believe, but it can be misinterpreted, that, well, all science, you just have to listen to the other people that say that that's not so, like climate change, right? Because I'm sure there are a lot of people that say, well, you don't let me into the debates because I think that it's, China's producing it. So it's just something to think about that I think about when these things come up. It's, are we ready as people, are we ready as societies to actually really deal with these? We certainly should be ready in the institutions, in the learning institutions. But as a society, you roll this out, it creates issues. Not that we shouldn't roll it out because it creates issues, but we should be aware that it does create those issues. So I just wanted to throw that out.
I think that's a great point, that the debates on this are sort of a microcosm of a lot of other debates. Certainly science is a very wonderful thing, and so it influences every aspect of our society. So a lot of public discussions and controversies somehow impinge on science. As a social scientist, I'd say one of the interesting things is in the Darwin debate, and even some of the other debates that you mentioned, there are some really significant differences, but there also are some common sets of facts that may be inconvenient facts, but that part of the issue is not that people are saying, well, this fact doesn't exist. Sometimes they say that, but sometimes they just don't want you to know about it. So, for example, some of the icons that Jonathan's talked about, one of the things that struck me when you wrote your original book, Icons of Evolution, was how, and you had many Darwinians who actually read various chapters and actually helped give input to make sure they were accurate. One of the things you'd hear from them, and correct me if I'm wrong, is, well, yeah, no, Haeckel's embryos or pepper moss or whatever else, or the origin of life scenario, Miller-Urey experiments, yeah, we know that isn't good science. But of course, there's all this other evidence that's outside my field that I trust, but I'm willing to grant that, you know, those icons really aren't good science. Well, that is a big concession. So I'd say that in a lot of scientific discussions, one of the things is trying to get what is the consensus on a set of facts that we all can agree to, and then you can have productive discussions from that. Now, sometimes there are discussions over what is a fact or not, but then there's yet even another iteration as a social scientist. Even if we have a common set of facts, then what should we do about them? You mentioned climate change. Discovery Institute doesn't really get into that issue. I read various things on it, but I say even if I had the exact same view as most people about climate change, then there's a second order question, was then what best public policy should we do? Because I know as a social scientist, a political scientist, every policy has positives and negatives, and it's a question of you only have enough resources to do a few things. And so if you do one thing, that means you're not doing something else. And then that's a larger debate that doesn't just involve science. And so I do think that overall as a society dealing with science, we have to realize the wonder and the many great things that science brings us, but also recognize it is a human enterprise. And so you have to distinguish between just cranks and on the fringe, but people are raising legitimate issues. And for me, when I started on intelligent design, when I started to meet people who were biology professors like Scott Minnick at University of Idaho, people who got degrees from the same PhDs from the same institutions that top evolutionary biologists have, and that they were having these questions, and it wasn't from a standpoint that they hated science, they love science, then I began to think, well, there's something here. But I do think that's a fair question that you have to raise of when does it rise to that level, and then are there facts that we can agree to? Then are there things that are arguable? And then the stuff that there may be some people object to, but there just really isn't any serious question about it. And I think we do need to be willing to have those conversations.
If you want to explore more about when we should or should not doubt claims made in the name of science, go to the Discovery Institute website at discovery.org and use the search function to find another podcast by our senior fellow Jay Richards on when to doubt a scientific consensus. That's discovery.org, and the podcast is by Jay Richards on when to doubt a scientific consensus. Although Disinherit the Wind has now concluded its run in Hollywood, you can still purchase a script of the play by Matt Chait at Amazon.com. Just search for the title Disinherit the Wind. For ID the Future, this is John West.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.